The initial reaction to Peter Adjak's arrest, I think, will have caught many people in the United States by surprise because of his presence and kind of leadership and scholarship at a number of really notable universities, including Harvard. He's been featured on the website of kind of the African Leadership Institute, as well as the Africa Center. And so that I think is the first takeaway, that this is not just a random individual who was in exile in the United States. This is somebody who was really integrated within kind of the broader African policy community.
Peter Biar Adjak and his associate Abraham Joel Kij are facing charges of violating the Arms Export Control Act here in the U.S., mm-hmm. as well as the Export Control Reform Act, and another charge about smuggling goods from the U.S. Just mm-hmm. how, as far as security risks and you know, and laws and policies around them, how serious of a charge this is?
So this would be a very serious charge, you know, in the United States. And, you know, it carries a prison sentence of, you know, depending on the charge, at least 10 years. And it's something that the U.S. kind of considers serious, especially when you look at the allegation that they were attempting to buy automatic weapons, grenade launchers, and missile systems. And so it's not just kind of exporting kind of routine public, you know, weapons for kind of the public. These were military grade weapons, and that kind of really increases the significance of this. I'm monitoring for more charges or allegations that that these two individuals violated what we call in the U.S. called the Neutrality Act. And the Neutrality Act basically says that it's unlawful for American citizens to take up arms against or plot against a nation which is at peace with the United States. Now, I don't recall the citizenship status of Peter Biar and if he's an American or not. But we had a similar issue in 2015 with two dual nationals who were Gambian and American, and they had plotted to overthrow the tyrannical regime of Yahya Jammeh in Gambia, and they were unsuccessful, and ultimately they were charged and incarcerated for violating the Neutrality Act. So I'll be very interested to see if this ends up applying to these two individuals or not, and that would just give us a broader understanding of kind of what Peter's intent was in purchasing and trafficking these weapons illicitly into South Sudan.
And you live in Nairobi, Kenya, currently, and you work there just next door to South Sudan. And if this operation was to be successful, it would have added a lot of volatility to an already fragile country like South Sudan in a troubled region. That region. Do you have any words about the implications for South Sudan and the region?
The presence of Stinger missiles, which is part of the allegation that they were attempting to purchase, you know, particularly $4 million worth of military-grade weapons, that's definitely significant, and that would certainly create, you know, more instability in South Sudan. What I think is fortunate is, based off of kind of the initial statements from the Department of Justice, it doesn't appear that these two individuals, you know, Peter Biar in particular, were anywhere near, you know, reaching the point where they're actually able to kind of break the arms embargo and export those weapons. It appears, you know, again, from Department of Justice statements, that the people that they were attempting to purchase these weapons from were undercover law enforcement agents. And so they were very much wrapped up in a sting. And, you know, once the requisite evidence that would allow them to be prosecuted was collected, it appears that they were arrested and you know, the complaints were made. So as much as if this were to hypothetically go through, as much as that would be an issue, it doesn't appear that this ever, you know, neared reality for South Sudan or for the region.